Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education Friday. Woohoo! Jacob, producer's choice day. Man, I had to clear my schedule to be available for my own show today, Jacob. So I appreciate the invite. And I'm sure Johnny Lupinacci also is happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. Ecstatic, man. This is one of my favorite shows of all time. It happens once a week, so I'm lucky that I get to experience it once a week. Just pure joy. So happy to be here.
Okay. Before, Jacob, you take over, though, I got to ask you guys to give me a read on a situation I had today.
Oh, okay.
I like that.
I'm here.
Right. Read. All right. I had to give, you know, kind of like opening welcome remarks to a guest speaker at our institution who was addressing our cybersecurity computer science majors and their field. And all the students in that major were there in attendance. And the professor who put on this event, you know, did the actual first opening remarks. And I mean, I'm talking a head full of hair, like lots of big curly hair going. And so, and he says, you know, I'd like to welcome Dr. Tim Slecker up. And I came up and, you know, I just was kind of like, I'm like, man, I didn't get the hair memo for the day. And I looked out and it was like the biggest comedic flop ever. Stone face.
Well, since Pootie Tang.
Hey, don't talk about one of my favorite movies that way.
Silence and looks of like and then I even, you know, went a little bit further going, come on here. I mean, come on, look. Look at professor's hair. Look at me. I got the wrong memo.
Tim, you got, I think
you dug in on the,
if we learned anything from Kramer, it's that once they're not laughing, don't double down on whatever you're saying. Just give up on that bit.
Did it get better? Or did they
no, least, no, did they you, just, no. No. And so then I'm like, okay, wow. Tough crowd. And then I was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, I'm in a Saturday Night Live sketch because I'm trying to drop humor on the IT guys. And it didn't work because they can't get that kind of humor, or they got it and were expressing, you know, happiness. But I wasn't able to see the connection because, you know, it was a different audience. And so, you know, here I was trying to, you know, have a little bit of fun with, you know, the guys that come into my office and go, is it plugged in? You know, and I'm like, well, yeah, it's plugged in. Well, I mean, I don't know. Let me sit down here. So I'm just wondering if a group of future cybersecurity majors, I was still funny, right? It was the audience is what I'm asking you guys.
You know, Tim, I think sometimes the audience's reaction is the measurement of funny.
Oh.
Although I think you've turned the moment into something funny, like for us, like, and listeners are probably, you know, doing the laughing now, like, hey, that actually is pretty funny. Good frame. But man, this sounds like many of my opening classes in the last couple of years. You know, for a good decade, I could say, let me allow me to reintroduce myself.
Yeah.
You know, and people would come into the famous lines of, you know, Jay-Z songs that I had grown up on. And, you know, now I say stuff like that and people are like, I don't understand what this guy's saying. Like, he said some pretty weird things and it's just quiet.
But you're talking about a historical type of reference. I'm talking about, look at the head here, Johnny. Okay. There's no doubt of my baldness. And the intro speaker, and in fact, anybody who can watch us can see that all three of us are, you know, good yeah. representations. And so when you get up right after a guy with a big head full of curly ass hair.
Curly ass hair. What kind of show is it?
Yeah. Whoa.
Whoa, that took a turn. Now I know why they went laughing, Tim. All right. Getting everybody all right. can.
Look, never Tim, mind. I appreciate your attempt at self-defecating humor, but it didn't go over well. I appreciate, Tim, that your joke bombed and you said, no, this must be the audience's fault. These guys are just too technical. My it's just infeasible that my joke wasn't funny. It must be the darn audience.
Yeah, it's the tech-oriented students. Nothing to do with the fact of their generation's, you know, consciousness of, you know, body shaming and or maybe, you know, being like, whoa. He said something about that other guy's hair, or maybe he's saying something about his hair. Either way, I'm not sure if I should laugh. So
Tim said, no, guys, don't worry. I'm ashamed already. You can laugh. You're not shaming me. I know it's bad.
Okay. So then to follow it up, I go down to the main guest speaker, who's, you know, a cybersecurity expert from Carnegie Mellon, University of Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, man, I said, I felt like I was on a Saturday Night Live skit. I said, your crowd doesn't seem to get humor, do they? And he agreed with me.
Yeah. All right. He's on your team.
I don't know. And maybe
what you should have said is, wow, I didn't know you had to have 6 or 7 inches of hair. And then they would have gone nuts. They would have loved it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Jacob, come on back.
Tim, before you give another speech. You got to sit down with your producer and say, Jacob, help me spin a few lines here.
I'm here to help you
to access the generation out there who's attending. And he's got you, man. See, he knew how to spin that joke so that you would have got a big 6-7 out of the audience. Been a huge, been an epic moment.
All right. 6-7. Sure. Whatever. Jacob, it's back to you. It's your show, man.
And you know who hasn't asked 6 or 7 questions yet on the show that he asked questions on? This guy. We're 12 minutes into the program, but let's get going with the Producer's Choice Show.
For choo-choo, producer, Jacob's Choice, chairman of the board. Ow!
You now have 2 choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow! Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices, isn't it?
You chose poorly.
Tim, Dr. Johnny, fellas. Oh, yeah. Guys, you're correct. It's Thanksgiving. Because 400 years ago, George Washington and the Pilgrims set forth upon this continent with a brand new country called America. They landed at Plymouth Rock, met Squanto, and frankly, everything went really great. We had the first Thanksgiving, yada, 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 and here we are today as the greatest country on earth. Now, yesterday, we continued that greatest of American traditions by celebrating Thanksgiving. It's a day for spending time with those we love and also with our family members, eating delicious foods laced with sleep-inducing chemicals, and planning out what things we want to risk our lives for on Black Friday. Nice. Today, I'm joined by 2 jive turkeys that we can all be thankful for on this episode of the Producer's Choice Show, Dr. Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci. Doctors, thank you so much for being here today on your own show.
Of course.
Of course, man. Appreciate it.
Now, for anybody new here, the Producer's Choice Show is the show where I, producer Jacob, ask interesting topical questions to Tim and Johnny right here on their own show. And today, I'm going to start us off with a pretty easy one. I'm going to ask you gentlemen this. What did you do for Thanksgiving this year, Tim?
Jacob, well, you know, typically this is going to be a Thanksgiving where I get to not say something because the past two Thanksgivings, supplying the turkey dinner for the family, and Johnny, I think will remember this. In addition to the bird, I also had to prepare the anti-bird.
Whoa, that's right.
The tofu turkey.
Tofurkey.
The tofurkey, man. And yeah. Vegans and vegetarians were around the table for the last 2 years. And so this year, first of all, I wasn't the preparer of the dinner. Back round to my mom and dad. It was their job to host this year. And I got to kind of sit back and watch how different family members found something throughout the day that they were offended by by other family members. But yet, sitting down for the dinner, there was no trace of the angst, animosities, and anxieties that occurred up until the Thanksgiving feast. And so for that, Jacob, I was really thankful this past Thanksgiving.
Well, Tim, is that how you guys do things? You're kind of on a rotation hosting Thanksgiving? It's like the World Series. We do one here, then we go do one over there.
Well, it's been a bit of a challenge because, you know, me, I've been a bit of a mess with my family, you know, having lived in New York, having lived in Pennsylvania, having lived in Wisconsin, having lived in Ohio, and now living in Pennsylvania.
You're a rambling man.
Yeah, yeah. So I kind of messed
Lord,
up.
I was born a rambling man.
The flow. So, yeah, lots of times it's been different. But, you know, this year, actually, this was a return year to tradition because my parents, most of the time, have always been the Thanksgiving hosts. But, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Getting to the point now, though, Jacob, where I'm thinking, you know what? A DoorDash Thanksgiving might have been something to be thinking about. That's all I'm saying. But no, it was great. I got to go back to Clairton, Pennsylvania. Yeah, that magical Steel Town city where the Deer Hunter cast was from, and sit around and yeah, actually get to spend some quality time with family members who typically don't get to spend a lot of time with each other. So it was kind of that classic, holy crap, you're now old type of thing. So yeah, I always appreciate Thanksgiving, and mostly appreciate not having to prepare the tofurkey.
I think we can all appreciate not having to have a tofurkey, Tim. I think that resonates all across this great country. Johnny, how about you? What did you do for Thanksgiving? I know you've got a big old tribe there just in your house. Do you guys have your own Thanksgiving or do you travel? What's the Johnny Thanksgiving all about?
Well, I'll tell you guys, I didn't get the memo about hair.
Okay.
Oh man, look at I got a laugh out of that. It does work, Tim. The joke does work.
So it is just you, Tim.
Yeah. The idea, like Thanksgiving was awesome. You know, I talked about it before. Aside from some of the complexities of holding space for both having a day where we celebrate what we're thankful for and grateful for, it's also a little bit of, you know, holding some space for, you know, the not so nice parts of history. So it's also a day of mourning for a lot of our friends of the family who are Indigenous folks. So kind of hold space for it to be, you know, a holiday with a lot of feelings. It's always a tough one to think about, you know, lost family members too. Like our family's experienced some losses in the last couple of years. And so it's different, but it's a great Thanksgiving. You know, I cook a big meal, not shocking. I love a substantial meal. I'm a big fan of food. So a whole day planned around cooking, feeding friends, and eating copious amounts of green bean casserole, you know, of pumpkin pie, sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top, you know, mac and cheese, turkeys. I cooked a couple of turkeys this year and went with, you know, a couple different ways of making them and, you know, brining one and then buttering another one. Oh, man, I love to eat. I could go on and on. So a whole day around food. But, you know, we went to locally. There is a local middle school counselor. It's just amazing gal, Mrs. Mott. And she hosts the Mackenzie Mott Memorial Turkey Trot. A loss in our local community of her 15-year-old daughter a few years ago turned, you know, a difficult day into something that brings community together. It's a pretty huge event where we live, so it's fun to go out and see all the, you know, middle school students, high school students, former students of hers, you know, current students, families, all participate in a local turkey trot. So even though all of my life, I said there's two types of people. The types of people who get up, stay in their PJs, watch the parade, put on football, and eat all day families. And then there's the ones that go run in those turkey trots in the morning. And those there's only two types. And now I'm both. So, you know, I went on that turkey trot. It was good time, great community event. You know, one of those ways where, you know, folks as part of, we talk about it here on Busted Pencils all the time, how public education brings together community. That's just one of those moments, you know, local counselor at the middle school, just beloved by students, you know, turns that day into a really heartwarming memorial where the community comes out and does something that's part of a Thanksgiving tradition around, you know, I'd say around the country. I know that members of my family, even though I strongly identified as the get up, stay in your PJs and cook kind of guy for Thanksgiving, my mom, who is now passed, used to go to turkey trot in Detroit with my brother, who's a runner. Go figure. He likes running. The guy actually likes to run. I always said running was a punishment in every sport I ever played in. So, you know, no, it was a good day. Lots of time with family. Of course, got a big family here. So feeding them is, you know, just a joy. So it was a great day of eating, you know, having the football games on, the Mackenzie Mott Memorial Turkey Trot. And then just chilling and relaxing.
That's a great answer, guys. I appreciate both of your stories. For me, I am thankfully a child of divorce, so I've got two Thanksgivings to go to, which will be great. They're both pretty close by. You know, we're eyeing each other from across town, you know, two rival Thanksgivings full of delicious birds and no tofurkey. So that's, I think we can all be thankful for that. I'm going to give you both a gobble for those answers. This one's for Johnny. Those are slightly different takes on the gobble. I hope those with a fine ear can tell. Johnny, what's a turkey trot for people who are Thanksgiving PJ guys like me?
Well, I mean, they range in what they are. The one I did was, I believe, if I'm again, I'm not a runner, and I would say I mostly fast walked this one, but it's like 2.5 miles, 5K. Just a, you know, kind of a tradition, I think, around the country. I think they change in lengths, but they're like mini marathons. I know in Detroit, it's a big deal. You get your number and it's actually a race for those who really competitively run. But, you know, it's like Thanksgiving morning. Usually it's a big kind of running event, and it's usually like a 5K or maybe even longer in some cities. But, you know, it's a nice, I was walking at a brisk pace, I'd say. You know, I'm not a big runner guy. So, you know, I was kind of jogging at times just to fit in with the crowd, like peer pressure. And then I was fast walking the rest, mall walking, as I like to call it. Got my, you know, sneakers on. But yeah, in general, for those listening who don't know about turkey trots, they're just an opportunity to get out with members of your community and run like a mini marathon or, you know, some kind of little course through the city. Usually I know in Detroit, it's pre-parade. Detroit has a big Thanksgiving Day parade. So you'd get up early anyways to go to the parade if you're that kind of family. And I was always a big watching on TV guy. But, you know, as I got older, members of my family sort of took up the tradition of going and running in the, you know, Detroit's turkey trot and then sticking around and hanging out. And, maybe having a few beverages of choice and watching the parade and then coming back. And I'd be like, welcome back. Here's all the food. Let me feed you. So, you know, working up an appetite on Thanksgiving, maybe even some kind of say it's like it's the counterbalance to the sit and eat to get up and move. But in this context for us, it's a big kind of community bonding, you know, memorial for families that is tough. Like you have lost family members. A big family day can sometimes be a difficult one. So what better way to do it than to share it with as many people and positive vibes as you can? And, you know, that certainly took place. So loved that.
And I'm just wondering, I know at a lot of marathons and fun runs and things like that, they also try to raise money for causes. Is that kind of part of it too?
Yep, absolutely. For a fund, you know, almost always they're charity events. So there's an entry fee and donations and all kinds of sponsors. All usually go into a cause, whether it's, you know, some of them to fight cancer, you know, some of them to end hunger, you know, some of them to help like families experiencing poverty, all kinds. This one, I believe, goes to a scholarship fund, you know, to help families and with school stuff. So yeah, generally they're an opportunity to raise money, like a giving activity.
We do a lot of thanks. It's also good to do the giving on Thanksgiving. And I appreciate that. Now, talking about going for a nice trek, I'm wondering, Tim, are you going to trek out today to do any Black Friday shopping? Have you ever been a Black Friday guy?
No, never. I mean, there is nothing about, you know, going after incredibly, ridiculously large screen TVs for low prices that would ever get me out the door. I am a Black Friday kind of like guy who, I gotta tell you, for me, that's a nice day off. And I get to go do a little bit of hiking and head out into the woods and spend some time in nature. Because that following, yeah, in Pennsylvania, Johnny will remember that because on Monday, Jacob, it is the truest religious holiday of all in Pennsylvania. It's the first day of deer season.
Oh, boy.
You know.
And a sin.
That, you know, so then we have truly not going after tofurkey, but going after the venison. So Friday is a nice day for me to get out and do a little scouting to get ready and to solidify where I'm going to locate my butt at like 5 a.m. on Monday.
I had no idea that you were a decorated deer hunter, Tim.
Oh yeah, man. You never I take them down, up. Jake. I take them down. You know, I'm a,
and he heads to his house where his kids that are vegan and animal rights oriented boycott his hunting practices. It's tension in the Slecker house.
No, it's actually they both grew up. Took my son out many times. He absolutely did not like the whole idea of killing. You know, and he is the vegan. My daughter became the vegetarian, but I took her out hunting. In fact, one of her courses in her college that, in fact, she's about to graduate here in December. She's in wildlife and natural resources management major. And one of the courses was a Hunting in America course. And her homework for over the Thanksgiving break was to go hunting with her dad.
And was that a really hard assignment for her?
No, it was actually, I mean, she was fine. She enjoyed it. She didn't want to kill anything and we didn't really get to see anything that day, but no. So yeah, I like Black Friday for the ability to get out and get out in the woods and kind of get my head around, you know, like going, okay, yeah, on Monday morning, this is going to be a good spot. I can feel it. You know,
in case our friends from PETA are getting angry, let me say, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I also produce Raised in Wisco here in Civic Media. And they have taught me that hunting is also a big, important part of conservation. So that, yeah. You know, if you do love animals, you love deer, you don't want them to be overpopulated because then that sucks for the deer. So Tim is actually part of helping animals and helping himself to a delicious meal.
Exactly, Jacob. And here's the other thing that I'll tell you. There's another, you know, thing that hates deer. Those are cars in the back. And actually, part of that overpopulation issue has a lot to do with, car and deer collisions, with that. And of course, I mean, I know people are going like, but what? Yes, I know. Overdevelopment of deer lands is also pushing them into smaller spaces, creating more overcrowding, pushing them then to run in front of your cars. I get all that. I get it, Jacob. I think I'm actually a pretty ethical hunter, and if we ever want to do truly a show, an education show on hunting and its place in not just America, but in recognizing that we all eat, and eating actually requires killing. And people are going, I eat strawberries. I know you do. But if you eat strawberries in February and you're from Wisconsin, your strawberries were on a truck that came from California to bring you those strawberries. And that truck killed a few deer on the way there. Had you not needed to eat your strawberries in February in Wisconsin, then maybe I can talk to you. But, it's just the complexity of, yeah, so even vegetarianism, requires some form of killing. And that's not to then glorify it. It's to acknowledge that it's a complex issue being alive.
I remember I was out in California in a stand, and I saw this strawberry about 80 yards out, and that was a great day for me, hitting that strawberry. Johnny, same question to you. I know it's hard to remember what it was, because we ended up on shooting strawberries, but at the outset, have you ever been a Black Friday guy? What do you think?
I've never been a Black Friday guy. Again, like I said before, I was pretty firm about the, like, stay in my pajamas, watch football, cook food for all the folks, even though I do participate in the turkey trot this year. It got me out moving around. Man, I love days off. You know, I'm a blue collar scholar. I work hard on the work days, and to have a Friday where you're not working, I worked retail jobs occasionally in my come up, like early college, maybe here or there, especially seasonal. Because it's always great to make some extra money. So, you know, I know it's a big work day for a lot of folks who are doing important work in the retail sector. But man, I like to just stay home. There's so few days that you can just relax at home. I'm not a big Black Friday guy. However, I will admit the tinge of Black Friday I do participate in, if I do, tends to be online stuff, right? I know stinks for local industry. Hey, I am a big fan of the local, like support local business Saturday. I think we talked about it earlier this week on the show. I will go out of my way, on time off to do that, because I think that's super important. Our local shops and different things, sometimes they'll have like a pre-holiday market or start to get ready for the holidays. I'm a big fan of that. But the most traditional thing I do on Black Friday is usually do either a big house project. You know, we're cleaning the house really deeply this weekend and, catching up with that marathon that is August to November for educators. So that's a big chill thing. And then the other thing is I love one of my guilty pleasures in life are collecting hockey jerseys. And some of them go on sale, like most things. This year I may have purchased a Team USA jersey on a Black Friday sale because it's an Olympic year. So getting ready for Olympics, and it's best on best again.
I hope it wasn't a Fanatics jersey, Johnny. Those drive me nuts.
Oh, Jacob.
I don't want to get into it too much, Johnny, but I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm with you.
When
I'm with you.
I go on the internet, it's like, oh, here's a jersey for $187. And then it's, I mean, it's not even an ironed on number. It's just print. I'm like, ah, what is this? What are you doing to me?
Fanatics, yeah. They have a contract with most professional sports organizations right now. And
where's my 1990s Adidas jersey that's got stitching? Yes. And whoa.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah, I know. Well, you'll be pleased to know that there are stitched Nike jerseys coming out. And even the Fanatics jerseys this year for Team USA, the Fanatics does have kind of a corner on, you know, professional sports right now. And this hockey team will be stacked with skaters and pros from the NHL. So it's a pro team. So there is contractual obligations for Fanatics to be the retailer of those jerseys. But I would say this one is stitched. It's a nice stitched jersey that I may have ordered on Black Friday. But yeah, other than the online stuff that comes through my social media, right, and reminds me, ooh, sale. You know, I'm not a big Black Friday guy. I've never been one to get up early and go wait in line for anything. Just too much, man. It's to not sound too judgmental, because I won't even get into like the politics of Black Friday, but also just kind of makes me a little sad, right? Like, it's like, you know, if most of America would agree things cost too much to the point where like a big sale is something we compete with one another for, it's like a mini version of the Hunger Games. It just gets me kind of in my feelings, and I would rather avoid that and stay with my turkeys, right? Just eating leftovers and you know, doing home projects and settling into the winter that's about to happen. Another thing I love to do, although we haven't gotten enough snow yet here, usually there's enough snow. A Black Friday snowboard trip, chance to get up into the mountains on early snowfall, has been a tradition when there's snow. There's no snow for it this year, but hopefully it's coming.
That was a good one. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now. That, you earned that gobble. That was a good answer. I like that.
Nice. Yeah.
What about me?
All right. That was okay. A sympathy gobble, Tim. I want you to know that, all right?
A participation gobble.
Yes. Fellas, we talk about education, we talk about the news, and sort of with the news, it tends to be talking about things that are negative. I mean, we try to bring in the positive, but we're responding to events happening. I want to take a minute, because it's, you know, it's Black Friday, we just had Thanksgiving, and I want to ask you, what's something that you're thankful for in education this year? Dr. Tim Slecker, hit us with it.
Ooh,
earn that gobble.
In education this year. Man, Jacob, that's I like that. You hear me stalling?
I do. Yeah.
You know what? Here's what I'm actually thankful for. I am thankful for that. In all of the chaos and the dismantling that, of course, we highlight here on the show, that the incredible innovations that we still continue to see. And again, I'm going to point and give our big props out to Mike Bigley up there at CESA 4 in Wisconsin, who, you know, is saying, hey, guess what? You know what? Alpha School, maybe $40,000 a year for private, you know, AI Incorporated. But there, Mike Bigley, the CESA 4 area, rural Wisconsin, public school, they are innovating, bringing AI, job readiness, workforce education, relevancy, sponsors with incredible Ashley Furniture. I'm talking that stuff. And when I see pockets of that, and I know they're happening everywhere, that's what I'm thankful for, because, you know, the show has always been pro public education. Anybody listening, though, knows that Johnny and I have been incredibly critical of the way schooling has usually, you know, come about. The remembering of what it was like to sit there in rows and all those things. So we've always been critical of you know, technically what we call pedagogy or teaching, bad teaching, we've been critical. So anytime I see that innovation, and there are lots and lots of other places, I am thankful that we get to have a show and highlight and bring those cases out into the public in a world that is constantly beating down on teachers, educators, and all those leaders involved in public education. That's my thankfulness.
Tim, you earned this one, and I'm going to give this one to Tim and Mike Bigley. Shout out to both of you. Yeah. That was great. Now, Johnny, same question to you. It's Thanksgiving. Tell me something you're thankful for in education this year.
Yeah, I think I'm thankful for all the teachers out there who are doing the hard work day in and day out, despite, as we've said, many, many weeks on end here at Busted Pencils. You know, it is the hardest time in any of our careers. And Tim and I have been teaching a pretty long time. It is no joke, the hardest time to be a teacher, whether it's, you know, the threat or fear of school shootings, or it's the constant cuts to funding to essential aspects of what children need in schools, or it's just, you know, the labor conditions for teachers. You know, we talk about how hard and difficult it is, but I'm grateful and I'm extraordinarily thankful for, you know, all the hard work for great teachers continuing to teach children in their classrooms, and for showing up every day and, you know, providing with what I think every kid deserves. And that's an awesome teacher. So I'm grateful for all you educators out there who are doing teaching. And I guess tangent to that, anyone out there who supports teachers, whether you're a parent, whether, you know, you're a principal, whether, you know, you're staff somewhere in the school system, or you're just a person in the community who says, hey, you're a teacher, aren't you? This coffee's on us, right? It's just really great. So I'm thankful and grateful for all you educators out there, and tangent to that, every one of you who supports teachers doing that work that they do. So I'm grateful for our teachers, Jacob.
I think we're all grateful for our teachers, Johnny. I agree with you absolutely on that one. Shout out to not just our listener teachers out there, but all teachers around this country and around the world. Thank you for the work that you do. That's always something bright. No matter what the news is, we know our teachers are out there working hard. I've got one last regulation question for you guys, and I think we'll keep it here with you, Johnny. What's your favorite item in the classic Thanksgiving food pantheon?
Cranberry. I love cranberry sauce. And this is, I'll admit it here, I make a really good homemade cranberry sauce from fresh cranberries. And yes, I like it. But man, nothing makes me happier on Thanksgiving Day than a can of that jelly log of cranberry. Like, comes right out of the can and you kind of slice it up. Man, I love that stuff. I've loved it since I was a kid. I look forward to it. You would think there's some kind of rule where you can only have it on Thanksgiving. Because for as much as I love it, I should just get it all the time. But I don't. I only have it once a year. And big fan of the jellied cranberry blob that comes out of a can and is absolutely just delicious with all parts of the meal. It makes it for me.
Dr. Tim Slecker, favorite Thanksgiving food?
The stuffing. Stuffing with turkey gravy right there, man. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. In fact, more than any other part of the meal, turkey included. So
I agree.
Short and sweet there, Jacob.
I'm with you, Tim. I think stuffing is my favorite part of Thanksgiving, too. And the thing I like about stuffing is on its own, it's okay. But when you pair it with a little bit of mashed potatoes, a little bit of turkey, cranberries, then the stuffing is fantastic. And that's just like us here on Busted Pencils. We're all good. But when we come together for educated educators, that's when we really thrive. Fellas, I want to thank you this year for giving me the chance to host the Producer's Choice Show, the number one rated show within a show anywhere in America. This is the 27th episode of Producer's Choice. It's been a great year so far, guys. thank you for this opportunity to host you on your own show.
Hey-o. Thank you, Jacob. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And with that, I've got time for one last very important question.
Let's go!
Going to start with you, Dr. Tim Slecker. Is it okay to start putting up your Christmas decorations now that Thanksgiving has ended? How do you feel about that?
I am okay with it. I myself won't be doing it, but I get it, and I appreciate it. And in fact, some of those earlier this week too, I even appreciate those people.
Now, how early is acceptable, Tim? This is a big debate in our society right now.
I it's got to be at least middle of November for me.
Okay.
Anything being, let's get through Halloween and get over the stomach ache of the Halloween candy, and then maybe throw up a little pre-Christmas decorations.
That seems reasonable to me, Tim. I think we can all get behind that. Or can we? It's Johnny's turn to give his answer. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, when is it okay to start putting up your Christmas stuff if you celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, I think for me, and I'm going to espouse this like broadly, I think after Thanksgiving. I think as soon as you're done with Thanksgiving, boom, it's like, hey, let's go ahead. It's green light, literally and figuratively. Let's get the lights up. Let's get the Christmas decorations out. Big fan of anytime after Thanksgiving. It's fair game. It's welcomed. It's sort of fun. And I even don't mind when establishments do it like maybe the week of Thanksgiving, because I do like, the night lights of like you might go out and go for a walk and you start to see them. So I'll extend that. For me, it's after Thanksgiving dinner, maybe not that night, but at least the next day. But I will say I do enjoy seeing it during the week. So anytime around Thanksgiving, I'm okay with.
I agree. Let's wait until, Thanksgiving is over, because, when else are you going to give the giant inflatable turkey his time to shine? All right. Don't put up the Christmas stuff next to him. Let him gobble up some attention for once. But Tim, I think with that, there's time for one last thing.
Well, Jacob, now it's time for your moment of zen. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness.
Thank you, listener. We are grateful and thankful for you, and especially thankful for you listening to this episode of Producer's Choice. And remember to grab great podcasts packed full with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on the Civic Media website. Hey, don't be late for homeroom on Monday, and be sure to grab next week's class in session on Wednesday. And if you don't already know, well, then you're going to love this, but you can catch Busted Pencils broadcast every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.